You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good evening. We've had a little bit of a shuffle because we're waiting for Mo Stewart to come on, but I am delighted to welcome Conroy to the to Carnage today. I am hosting guys today, so please bear with me. It is usually Grizz Khan, and he has me doing all these kinds of stuff, but he's out in Turkey, and he's not getting a hair transplant. Just want to dispel the rumors. He's not getting a hair transplant. He's just gone on a holiday, enjoying himself, scoffing on Turkish kebabs. He's been having all sorts of shawarmas and whatnot. But Conroy, how are you? Welcome this evening. How's your day been? You did a show yesterday. You're taking the match ball home tomorrow because you're on with me. So, three shows in 3 days. How are you feeling?
Good, mate. Listen, it was delighted to be on the shows, and we all needed, you had a busy week, so I was like, nah, I'll help him out Friday. And I like the Sports Unplugged as well, but tonight I'm buzzing to be here as well, because it's similar. We'll have a little topic that's similar from last night, but we've got a few other topics to talk about. Brentford, which we're going to get into, as well as discuss how the season's went so far. Yeah, so no, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. The weather's warm as usual.
Don't complain about that, mate.
No, I'm not going to complain today, but it would be nice to get rain once in a while. Laura Duffy, I'm sure, will be saying some stuff. I'm waiting for her to say some tacky stuff because he did get a brace. I just want to touch upon the Norwich game, Conroy, because I know you spoke about it yesterday with Chris and Gav and Joe, who was on. It was a good result. And I want to come to the season in general. No complaints so far, Conroy. I know you've been saying a few stuff that's really irked the viewers, but everyone's entitled to opinion. And look, some of the stuff I agree with, and you're there for people to take a shot at. But what have you made of the season so far? The positives, and then give us the negatives as well.
That's funny. No, it's funny. I think, overall, I'm pretty chuffed to the start of the season, to be honest. At the same time, a lot of Liverpool fans were saying we're not getting enough praise or, under the radar. But I want to keep it that way, to be honest, mate. I quite like us subtly just going about it. I think that's the right way for us. I do think there's been a lot of positives in the games. I do think we will start. I watch the performances will improve as well, along with, you probably agree that Van Dijk, he's doing well, but he's probably not even at 100% yet as well. You've got that to come. You've got Kanate, who's showed in the last games what he can do, but he's definitely not anywhere near how good he can get as well. For me, it's I've been delighted with the start. However, it's just keep doing it this way. Just as I think Keith would say, just game by game, as we always have anyway, just take it that way. You've obviously got a Chelsea. However, this weekend's going to be really interesting,
Chelsea City.
Because because I've got a feeling City are going to beat them this time. I don't know what it is, and you might say, you know, Guardiola always overthinks it, specifically against Tuchel as of late. However, I don't know. I feel like City, I could see City getting a result, and then that does put the cat amongst the pigeons for us. And then if who United against this weekend, oh, so I've lost, I did check it, but whoever it is, if we can maintain this form and can improve performance-wise as well, mate, I mean, we could really, we've got a good run of games. So this is a huge weekend, mate, huge weekend. Brentford away is not going to be easy. I know we're going to get onto that, but how are you feeling about the season? Do you think we've done better than you thought we would, or is this as expected?
Conor, you know, at the beginning of the season, there was all this commotion that we needed squad depth and we needed more players. And look, I was in agreement. We did need a shake, not a shake up as such. We needed two more players, or a player at least in the forward position. But the players that have come in, like, look, we can talk about Divock Origi all day, whether he should be at the club or he shouldn't be at the club, or we should have sold him maybe a couple of seasons back. But came in against Milan, put a good shift in for 60 minutes. He got a really good assist.
No, some assist, mate. Like, that was an outstanding pass, yeah. Honestly. I was impressed by that. And
I said it on a show, if that was Bruno, people would be glamorizing that in the media. All these pundits and stuff would have said, oh, look at that assist by Bruno. But because Divock does it, it's like, you know, okay, you know, it's Divock Origi. But that assist was brilliant. He put in a shift as well. I think he complained a bit of cramp, didn't he, and he came off. But then against Norwich, Klopp goes with Cade Gordon, who we'll just touch upon in a little bit. But he went with Origi and Taki Minamino, who, again, they played. They scored, Taki gets two, Origi gets one, Origi gets an assist. So they're coming in and doing a job. And I'm pretty sure that's what they're meant to do. You know, come in, do a job, and, you know, provide rest and cover for the front three who are, you know, at the moment, or the front four who are, you know, Mane, Jota, Salah and Firmino. But these players below that bracket have come in and done a job so far. And you just hope that they carry on. And I want to bring this next, and Norwich was a great game, but I want to come on next to Origi and Minamino. Do you feel that these two players are far more effective when they're playing regularly and they start? I'm not saying we start them against Brentford, but do they need games instead of coming on every 10, 15 minutes because they won't get that momentum or that they won't get into their stride when they come on off the bench, because it's, you know, we're either winning comfortably and then it's hard to make an impact, or we're chasing a game, which we haven't thus far this season. But I want to get your thoughts on Origi and Minamino. Do you think they deserve a little bit more of a go in the league?
It's a hard one. It's a hard one, mate, because I'm not one for saying, you know, the front three are unbreakable, in the sense of, I think if looking at other transfers, you can definitely get someone in who can cause some add to the already competition. You'd say Jota and Firmino battling to get in the starting front three. However, though, I've got to be honest, right? I've been quietly impressed by Minamino in the sense that I'd kind of already written him off. And the fact that he's, see him just coming on and scoring two goals. He doesn't have to light the world up. He just has to be effective. And that's, to me, that he's starting to show me that. And I know there are pre-season games and I'm not getting carried away, but that's two goals in a competitive game. The thing is for games, look at Tsimikas, Avi. You could say Tsimikas has played a few games and you can see the instant improvement that's made to him, the confidence. However, with Origi and Minamino, I just don't know if you're ever going to get the opportunity. If you need to stay in the cups if you're going to get opportunity, for me, mate. I don't know if you can think of another way, but for me, it's if they can, by the end of the season, if Minamino can, let's say Origi, for example, if Origi can improve his trust from Klopp that when they need a goal against Brentford at the weekend, that he brings them on, he's probably actually put himself in a higher regard than he's been in the last couple of months. So I get what you're saying, mate. I don't know if it's ever going to be possible because you got Firmino, he's back, or Jota, you're going to bring one of them on. And it's really tough, mate. It's really tough. And he's even played like Ox and a false nine over them at times. So I don't know. What I would say is, I know Laura Duffy will be happy with this. Watch Minamino, because I don't know. I do think, I've told you before, Avi, I just feel like for him, the formation doesn't help him. I feel like there's other teams he would go to, like a 4-4-2 or a 4-4-1-1. And in my mind, he's like an ideal second striker. Not a striker, but the person who just facilitates and plays that final ball, the little clever decision-making. But you know what? Fair play to the guy. He looks much more confident. He looks like he's enjoying his football. And I was really happy he got two goals the other night.
See, Conor, I can see him, and this might be a hot take, but I can see him maybe starting against Brentford, because Brentford really, they defend deep, and they can defend tight as well at times. And sometimes you need that intricate player. And I know Jota can do that. Jota's really good at the 1-2s, but Taki finds himself in these positions where he's always got a goal scoring opportunity. And thus far, the starts that he has had, the few starts that he has had for us, he's always come up trumps. He's always scored a goal.
It's ironic, mate. His best game, and then he got put out on loan, wasn't
it? Yeah,
it
was against the Palace.
Yeah, he played well, yep. And then he got put out on loan.
And I feel that maybe Klopp might shuffle the pack again on Saturday. We'll come to the lineup. But for me, I think when you're in, and I don't want to say in a rich vein of form, but when you're in sort of like some kind of good form, like Origi and Minamino, it's really hard to displace the front four because they're always scoring or they're always creating chances. But I think Klopp, I don't know, it might be a confidence thing. Klopp might not just feel, you know, he fully trusts those two yet as in a league game. But in the League Cups, I know we've got Preston North End, and we'll come to Preston in the next round. You fully believe that they will get the opportunities. Yeah. But
sorry to interrupt, Avi. Colin, sorry, mate. You just said Conroy, it was one game. And Colin, that's a fair point. I just, recently, I was impressed with Taki in pre-season as well. But you are right. Maybe Norwich is, we're getting too carried away, Avi, because Norwich is maybe the best team to play against, because you know they've not got a great strength, but they're going to play open. But I don't know. I've got a feeling about Taki. I do feel like he's got a bit more about him. I've got more confidence that Minamino could get back in this team than Origi. That might be, people might disagree with that, but I just feel like Origi will eventually probably leave this summer, whereas Taki might go on. We'll see.
And I want to come to Conroy. A lot gets said about youngsters, and I know Man City have got a great system set up, the amount of youngsters that they're producing, funnily enough, and the money that they spend. But I want to come on Tyler Morton, Conor Bradley, Kieran Kelleher, if I've said that right, apologies if I haven't. Curtis Jones, Cade Gordon, who all made appearances. James Balogheze was actually on the bench on Tuesday. It was Tuesday, wasn't it? We played, yeah, Tuesday, wasn't
Tuesday,
it?
Tuesday, mate, yeah.
And I just want to have a word on Cade Gordon, 16 years old, quite, you know, the youngest player to play for Liverpool. What did you make of the youngsters that came on? I was particularly impressed with Conor Bradley. I thought he did well. I know the penalty, but that happens, that sort of naivety, getting over-exuberant in the challenge. But at 17, he did himself, you know, no harm. I think he could really challenge Trent, maybe not challenge his position, but definitely be good, cover in the next season or two.
I would agree. So we'll get on that in a sec. For Conor Bradley, I actually thought he played with a confidence even after the mistake. And that was, to be fair, I think that was Chris Brack who mentioned that. And I thought that was a really good point. Like, he didn't put his head down. He just kept going. Obviously, keeper saving it maybe gave him a new lease of life, to be fair. Probably felt like I got away with one there. But just in general, he did look quite confident in his touch and his just an ability, which he probably should be. But it's very easy to do it in the academy than do it in a competitive game. But I thought I was really impressed with him. And I do agree with that, Avi. Maybe that's a bit controversial from me, but Conor Bradley, of all the players who played, for me, who's got the most chance of getting in this team anytime soon, I say team, I mean in the squad, consistently, would be Conor Bradley, because I still look, Milner's our second right back right now, in my opinion. He's not going to be there forever. So Conor Bradley's looking right. I'm 17. If I can keep going by the time I'm 19, 20, I could be the backup. And if it's maybe a bit cynical to Nico Williams, but I just don't think Nico Williams has done enough, not done enough to impress. I'm not, he's had in moments, but as you say, I think the comments said the corner will challenge Nico, and I completely agree, mate. So I feel like Cade Gordon, really impressed, very similar to Harvey Elliott, not as a player, but as the sense of when he was at Fulham. You know, he showed this kind of potential, and people are like, "Oh, this is going to be the next big thing." So I feel like it's really good that Liverpool have managed to purchase another player like that, and we'll see where that goes. But the most impressed I was of anybody was Tyler Morton, to be honest. So he just to come in for the most shortest space of time.
He looked assuring, didn't he, Conroy? He looked very assuring.
Just his game. He's not trying to do it like, "Oh, Klopp, look at this pass." He's just doing his game. And see, to be honest, mate, I know it sounds simple, but that's what I am, this is what I'm good at, and that's how I'm going to get a chance to either get a move or get more game time. And I was really impressed. I'm not going to compare, because it's completely different, but like Billy Gilmore when he played for Chelsea,
Yeah.
You know, I know more about this because I'm Scottish. Obviously, I follow Billy Gilmour more, not because it's Chelsea, but because he's honestly playing for Scotland every game now. He's superb. But when he got a game for Chelsea against us, you could just tell like he was confident and he knew his game. And I'm not saying it was to that level, but I felt there were similarities in that Tyler Morton knows his game. And I feel like that's a big strength.
Yeah. And you'd imagine, Conroy, that the youngsters that played on Tuesday, they'll probably get their chance at Deepdale. Deepdale is where they play, isn't it? Preston North End.
Which... Shout out to Bizzle Bond, you know, the rap battler, Liverpool fan. He's from down at Preston, so he's trying to get his tickets for that. So shout out to Bizzle.
There's a bit of an affiliation with the Preston North. It's always been a tie. Like, they could be in Division One or the Championship. There's always like, it's always a great tie when you face like a Preston North End. We've seen like, you know, past players, managers, Bill Shankly played for Preston North End, you know, he won an FA Cup, won another sort of, I think he became runners-up as well a season before or after, but Neil Mellor, Sepp van der Berg, who I believe will get special dispensation to play against Liverpool. But that you'd trust the youngsters to go again, wouldn't you, Conroy?
I think I say luxury, but our depth. I'm not trying to say we've got the best depth in the world. I'm not saying that. However, I feel like what you might find is you play a similar team, but you might have one or two more from the first team squad, i.e. maybe I might be wrong, he might do the exact same, but it could be a case of, see the front three, what was it, Origi, Minamino and Cade Gordon, it might be a case of you maybe switch one of them for a Mane or a Jota, something like that. I could be wrong though, but I think it'll be quite similar, Avi. To be honest, mate, you know what it's like every year. He'll just tell Pep to take the team and then just don't get through, you know. But I'm only joking because I saw a tweet the other day. It's like, you better not get through. But
Conroy, is it maybe a competition that we could probably, and I'm not saying take it seriously, but go and have a go and go and, you know, give fans, you know, because there's fans who unfortunately can't get up to Anfield every weekend because there's loads of Liverpool fans all over the country. But a trip to Wembley, you know, is that something that's sort of like...
so much, yeah. Mate. I'd love that. I don't know sometimes. It's just as much as I'm always kind of one for domestic cups because I feel like you need to have that mentality. But I just think with Liverpool, we kind of know that the horse we're backing, if you know what I mean. We know we're going to focus on the Champions League and the Premier League. And it's not like we're going out... I'm joking. We're not going not to win. But I feel like you just... He just doesn't want, as I think Laura said, it could all depend on injuries. And I think, see the week we've had already, mate, was that Thiago being out as well for a few games. It's just, unfortunately, I think we'd have to rely on, do you remember Arsenal? Remember Arsenal when they got to the Chelsea League Cup final when Walcott scored and every round Wenger played his young team and they actually done really well? I feel like it's probably going to have to be something like that. You're going to have to maybe put a few of your first team players in, but your young players are going to really have to overperform. And I want us to stay in the cups, mate, because it gives people like Minamino, Origi, it gives them a chance to actually get a bit of consistency and try and shine. But we'll see, mate. At least we've got a decent draw, but let's not knock Preston. They ties, as much as we don't get them, they can be difficult, as we saw at Shrewsbury away in the FA Cup draw.
Yeah,
Lovren and Matip had an absolute shocker that day. Both of them were not very good that day.
That was the one with that weird sort of own goal, wasn't it, at Anfield? And we won sort of 1-0.
That was the replay, yeah. It was Jason Joe Hardy scored in the first one, yeah.
Joe Hardy got like 30 seconds or something as well. The guy who was, I think, 24, but playing in the academy level, scoring heaps of goals. But yeah. We'll move on. Just on the injury front as well, Conroy. So Thiago, I think he felt his calf, wasn't it, against Palace. Naby's managed to... kick him.
I try not to check it anymore because it actually just pisses me off. But
Naby's, I can't say without tackling, but Naby's seemingly has kicked his foot into the ground against Norwich. And Klopp said it was precautionary, but some have said that he's going to be missing against Brentford, but you know, we'll see when he confirms in the press. I think Bobby's in light training as well, so you know, a few are, you know, unavailable, but Bobby coming back is a bonus, a little bit more cover on the subs bench. I don't think he will start. He might not even be in the squad. If he's doing light training, it gives you what, till Thursday, Friday. But yeah, in terms of the squad, and we'll come on to Brentford now, and I want to talk about Curtis Jones. And I mentioned it on last Friday when I was with Cal from Coppish and Kev. Curtis Jones has an opportunity now to really sort of stake a claim in that midfield three and, you know, go and put some numbers up. You do hope that he is the progressive midfielder in our system and who can go on and push on, because he can play from the 10 as he did in the under-18s under Steven Gerrard, under-23s, or from the left.
Not a very good striker as well, Abby. Yeah. Just, he doesn't seem to do it. He actually, last season, he met a good few chances. I was disappointed in his striking because he's a very good striker of the ball. But what I was going to ask you about Curtis Jones, mate, you said the midfield three. See, with Harvey Elliott, unfortunately, obviously gutted for the kid getting injured, do you think it's maybe that, not the injuries revitalised Jones, but it's gave him an opportunity to even replace on that side for Elliott or the left side, and kind of not, they're not the same player, but do you think that might actually, he's got opportunity now to kind of push on with that after the unfortunate injury?
I think he has, and I thought he played well against Norwich. I thought the cameos that he has come on for Liverpool in the league, he's been really good as well. You know, he likes to give and go. He looks for the pass. He always looks for a forward pass as well. He's not very...
Yeah, very much, mate, yeah.
I think last season we saw a disciplined side where he was a little bit more cautious, but maybe that's the role that he was given. You know, it's certain, we know that Klopp's midfield is really structural, more workmanlike than seeing the flashy glimpse of flicks and tricks here and there. With Curtis Jones, we saw a more disciplined player last season who was covering kilometres as well. Let's not forget about that. He was covering a lot of grass last season. And again, this season, I think he started off well, but again, I think he's got to come in contention for Brentford, hasn't he? He's got to be in that midfield three, I would presume, alongside a Hendo or a Fab. But knowing Klopp, we don't know what he might chuck out in the air.
We'll assume that Thiago and Keita aren't going to be in the squad. We'll just assume that. And with that being the case, that I feel like he trusts Curtis as well. And I find it's a really good point, mate, to say he had to be a bit more conservative at times last season. Because if you remember, see the Sheffield United game away, I feel like we tried something a bit different with the fluid formation that day.
And you scored in that goal.
You saw him bombing up in the box quite a lot and it looked very good. So I know some people maybe don't love Curtis Jones in our team, but for me, I think there's a lot of potential there and definitely could see him start. I'm just trying to think of the options off the top of my head. You've got Henderson, Fabinho,
James
Jones.
Milner.
Yeah, James Milner, because he's back from the illness. Ox. Yeah, to be honest, mate, I think Jones is definitely within a shout. But you know, as you said, Klopp might pull something out as he does.
Conor, why do you think there is a, and I know it's throughout the summer, and I put a post up on Curtis Jones, a lot of sleeping on him, because I think this is the season where we see him in a more progressive, position in the Liverpool midfield or even off the left. Why do you think there is a sort of like, not sold on him yet? You know, he doesn't do it for us. Why do you think there is an agenda amongst some fans? Yeah. I'm not saying every fan, but some Liverpool fans are a bit like, no, he's not. And he's what, 20 years old? He's 21 in January, I believe. So he's 20.
I don't really know, mate, to be honest. I actually thought last season I maybe named four players. Take away the last couple of games, you know, we got it right, but it was not a great season. And I would say there's maybe, performance-wise, there's maybe four or five.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Who I'd said, you know, had a pretty good season. Maybe I'm being generous. I'm not saying overall wasn't necessarily that bad, but let's be honest, quite a few players had poor spells. I'd say obviously Salah had the top season, Fabinho in different positions, but I thought Jones was right up there, Jota as well, obviously, but I thought Jones had a very good season. It gave him the opportunity, showed what he could do. I was very impressed. I don't know why that's the case. I feel like, see, even if you watch his academy clips, and I'm not saying it's the same as football, but I feel like he showed me enough, like the Ajax game in the Champions League last year, he showed me enough that he's got a lot in the locker. I don't know if it's maybe just, you know, Harvey Elliott from you bought him at 16, this guy's going to be the next big thing. If maybe that's just the narrative suits more, and then it's easy to forget about Jones. But I thoroughly like him as a player. And as I say, his shooting is very good. I think people maybe sleep on that. He just has to... Confidence may be the wrong thing, but I remember that Ajax game, was it Ajax, I think, or it might have been a Premier League game. He beat two men, hit it from outside the box, and it was a terrible strike. And I was like, mate, you've hit that in the top corner hundreds of times. And I just feel like that's maybe he could just shoot a bit more. I would say.
For the under-18s and sort of under-23s during that Gerrard era when he was manager of the Liverpool youth setup, he was getting 15, 20 goals. I think he scored a hat-trick.
He did shoot the other night, to be fair, Avi. Sorry, yeah. He did do that. He cut on his left and he did shoot the other night. So take that away, that game. But I think he can shoot more.
He had a few shots. I think he had a couple of shots against Palace as well. That, you know, and a little bit more in with the angle and whatnot. It's on target. But I think he's going to be a little bit more daring. And Kieran B makes a great point. Curtis could be a goal-scoring midfielder for us in the coming years. Has an eye for goal. And I want to allude to this. He was always a forward player playing in that sort of 10 in the academy. And he was scoring 15, 20 goals. I remember him scoring a Champions League hat-trick. I'm pretty sure Laura could probably correct me, against Napoli. And some fantastic finishes. And he was always getting sort of like 10, 15 goals a season for those 2-3 years when he was at the academy. And he's a player that I feel that other clubs and other oppositions, because when we hear the words of Mason Greenwood, he's generational. And, you know, the youngsters that are coming through from United, maybe the Chelsea's now, Man City's, that people are saying, oh, no, Curtis Jones is not on that level. But it's different, isn't it? It's different systems, different managers, different styles.
Yeah, I think, like, just to clarify the comments here, what I'm saying is Harvey Elliott's been outstanding this season. I'm not comparing. I'm just thinking because of that, I think it's very easy. I don't remember if I worded that correctly. It's easy to forget the effect Curtis had last year, because bear in mind, last year we were talking about Foden, Greenwood, and Curtis Jones was in that conversation. Yeah. Because this young guy, Elliott, just, you know, had a barnstorming start to the season. It's just, it is easy. We're so quick in football. It just is moving constantly. And I feel like because of that, I've not forgot those comparisons, Avi. And I feel like you talk about Foden. I actually do think Foden's exceptional. Like, I think his movement's unbelievable. And for me, Liverpool last season, out of all the teams, Foden and Jones definitely had the hardest job playing for that, the team that was losing players left, right and centre. So I feel like context has to go into that, mate. I completely agree. Even I forgot about Jones at certain points, but I really, last couple of weeks I've been reminding myself, I think he's very, very good. And you talk about getting goals from midfield. That's a great point, because that's something we've definitely lacked over the years.
Yeah. And it's something that we need to, I think Fabinho's got a goal now against Leeds, isn't he? Naby scored that wonderful volley. That celebration was just gold dust against Palace. And we do need a little bit more from our midfield, you feel like, this season. But, you know, as long as Salah, Mane, Jota are scoring, you know, and Bobby chips in, I think we'll be fine. I want to come to Diogo Jota, Conroy, because I thought he snapped at that chance against Palace. He should have really scored that. Is there issues? I mean, I've seen a different... We're in a WhatsApp group and I've said we're seeing a different side with Jota this season. He's more productive. His work rate's gone up a notch and he's looking for the ball more deeper where he can run with the ball. We can get into that sort of final third.
It's not been a stop-start as well. He had a stop-start year last year at times. I thought it was a bit unfair. But
with the injury as well. Yeah. But there's a comment here on Free World who said Jota is off form clearly. Is that how you feel, Conor? Or do you think he's adapting his game even more now?
That's because probably he's not a bad shout, but I just think out of all the front three, that's obviously not Salah, right? But what I mean by that is I think Jota is very much like, he's just effective. He doesn't have to be necessarily attic. Probably like Salah, you could say, not to the same extent, but I think he is still quite effective. And what I mean by that, if you look at his goals, the Norwich one, it makes it 1-0, that's important. The Palace makes it 1-0. They're crucial goals. So, Free World, that's
against
a fair comment.
Burnley, I'm
getting mixed up, yeah. Burnley, the Shimikas cross. And I feel like he is effective, Jota. And when I watched him at Wolves, he's got quite a lot to his game as well. See, when he first started, he can link up quite well, and that will improve as we carry on. But I understand why, even when he's not in top form, Klopp persists to play him, because you've just got a chance with that movement. His movement, I think, is still very underrated, not by our fan base, but by others. When he drops into 10 sometimes to create the space for Mane and Salah. But he's probably not been in great form, mate, but I could see him continue to play, because you know what, he has got that. Some people would say he's very clinical. I wouldn't go that far, but I'd say he's probably he's definitely very effective for us, even out of form. But it's a fair comment. What do you think? Would you, if your Firmino got fit, would you put him right back in the team?
See, I like this comment, and I'll come to your question, Conroy, in a minute. Kev says, Jota is likely to bang a hat-trick or fire a blank. He's a hot and cold player. I think there's glimpses of where he can be hot and cold, but I think this season, we've seen, I don't know. I just like his what he's producing. There was clips of the Milan game, especially in the second half, where he was getting the ball from deep and really threatening that final third at that defense. Because Simon Kier, Romagnoli, who was their right back, Calabria, they could all be got at. And it was that where he was playing off that sort of drifting from the left or central. He was going at them. And I think that's so
he's
key.
He's very direct.
And when you've got Mane and Salah, and Mane again, you know, he's getting goals. He's scoring goals 3 and 5, but people are still sort of suspect of his form and his overall productivity over a course of 90 minutes. But Jota, I want to see that more from him. You know, like how Bobby drops back sometimes as well, just to create that bit of space, like you said.
Yeah, I think Mane, Salah. Okay against Leeds. He's not the same player as Bobby, but I thought he exploited it against Leeds quite well. But I agree. I'll be honest, guys. I don't think Jota's in great form, but I do think he's... I'm not worried in any way, because I feel like this is him in out of form. When he gets in form, I mean, he came in last year, and I did watch him a bit at Wolves. I didn't think he'd do it as well as he has done at Liverpool, but I feel like that's nothing to worry about. It's kind of like the Mane thing in the sense of not in form, but still being effective for us, which is a great strength. And I think Laura Duffy says he looks exhausted. Possibly because it's been stop and start. It's kind of like maybe this is his first proper run without anything stopping him, and maybe he's feeling that now. But the miss the other day was just a terrible, terrible shouldn't have scored miss. I've seen Ronaldo do that against Sheffield United away. I've seen Mane against Leeds. It happens. Don't get me wrong. It was one of the worst I've ever seen. But on the half volley, it's probably easier actually, because the keeper's on the deck. But it is what it is. And it happened, and it didn't matter because Sadio saved them with a goal. So, no, nothing to worry about with Jota, but fair points, mate. Even though I do agree with you, mate, I just feel like Klopp just likes to play him because he can be that fox in the box at times and get you a goal when a team's got the low block, and he has been very effective. It's funny how one of the comments says Jota misses too many chances. It's funny you say that. I'd probably agree, but I think all our front three miss chances. Like, I'm kind of normalised to that being a Liverpool fan. I don't know if you feel the same, have you?
I think Salah's become absolutely ice cold this season. I mean, he always has that in him as well in the previous seasons. You know, obviously his goal scoring records, suggest that, of course.
Yeah, but he has had moments where it's like you wouldn't always trust on one-on-one. Like
he does, but this season Salah's been clinical. You know, every chance that he's got, like real sort of chance one-on-ones or a chance where, I thought that finish against Palace was a brilliant finish. 6 yards, 7 yards out, but the controlled volley. Like, we've seen people like Sky, those like Jota did a little bit in the first half, but...
excuse me. I agree. Thanks, mate. I thought it was... I'd say, someone said a comment the other night, I've watched Salah and analysed him all the time. I'd say he's probably the most well-rounded he's been now. And even his decision-making's good. And I don't just mean in front of goal, because I still don't think he's like the best finisher ever. I'm not saying that. Like, I know people will try and compare because his goal record's insane. But I would say, like, even his decision-making at times, like his passing against Leeds, he probably should have got about 4 assists. He's making the right decisions constantly now. And this is the most well-rounded I've ever seen him. And that can only be good for us. So it's really great.
Yeah, and that leads me to the next, obviously, topic, the game on the weekend, which is a 5:30 kickoff, I believe, back home, isn't it? So it's a little bit, later for me, 9:30. But I want to come to Brentford because it's a real interesting story. Their owner, Matthew Benham, who actually owns FC Midtjylland, I think, if Laura wants to just confirm that as well in the comments. He owns both clubs, so he's the owner of Brentford. He's a lifelong Brentford fan. And the story is, Conor, I'm not sure if you know, but he took a 700k loan out. And the institution that he took the loan from, he goes, I'm going to turn this into 100 million. He didn't turn it into 100 million. He turned it into $300 million. And it enabled him to buy Brentford Football Club. But there's a story to this. So he had a mentor called Tony Bloom, who is also the owner of Brighton, but they fell out. So there's a little bit of rivalry there now between the Brighton owner and the Brentford owner. But he's done quite the job. He took over in 2012, so it wasn't plain sailing straight away. It's taken probably the best part of, 7 years to get to where they've needed to. And, with the appointment of Thomas Frank, who's another Danish manager, they've worked out a system. And he's a man of few words, Matthew Benham, the research that I've done of him. But he is a very analytical man, data-driven. That word again, money ball, comes into play. It does seem that the most successful projects or structures are this, where they buy young. They only buy between 17 to 22, develop that player between those ages and then sell him on. Saeed Benrahma, I think, was bought for 2.7 and he was sold for 30 million to West Ham. Neil Mope, who came from, I think, France for 1.7 from Lorient, I think, sold for 20 million. And forgetting the other player.
Watkins.
Ollie Watkins, who went to Villa, yeah. Again, brought him on the cheap, I think, for 3.7, sold him on for 30 million. It does seem that this structure, this model, is something that has made them really successful, have brought them into the Premiership. I thought they could have come to the Premiership the season before, but they
lost in the playoff final, didn't they? Because it was the left back scored twice for Fulham.
Yeah. And then they lost that, and then they came up last season. But what have you made of them so far? What have you made of their team, the wing back system? I know he plays like a 4-2-3-1. He likes playing a wing back system in transition, defensive transitions.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the wing backs as well, because one of them obviously came from Liverpool. What have you made of Brentford, though, so far in the five games that you've seen them?
No, to be honest, mate, I've actually been really impressed. I think we can all agree the one I saw the most of them was the first game, Friday Night Football against Arsenal. Sergio Canos, you've got to talk about. He was at left wing-back that night, or right wing-back.
He scored from the left.
That's why I'm getting confused with it. But I was impressed. It was actually fair play to the commentator at the point of this out. It was like when you say it's a four, but sometimes it's a transition from a five to like a four when they're attacking, which I found all those transitions and playoff and patterns of play, I find that quite fascinating, as I told you off camera. And I quite like when I've heard Thomas Frank speak and the way he talks about the game. It's very interesting. But for me, it was really the most surprising thing is, right, I'll be honest, I didn't watch lots of the Championship, watched the highlights. Ivan Toney and Mbeumo up front, there's pressing, and then there's the pressing and hard work they do. And everyone can work hard, they shoot their footballers, but the actual pressing is ridiculous. And I was surprised of how much of a, obviously they're quite tactically fluid and moving, but as a unit and as a team, it's like they should all be working for each other. I get that, but to me they just seem, it's outstanding. I was very impressed with that, because I was expecting to see a team, you know, a bit like when Norwich came up and Pukki had scored the goals for Norwich, they've got to try and play to his strengths. But it's very much not like that. And even with their active pressing and then at times the possession-based football, because there was moments against Arsenal where they controlled it quite well. Because actually, see, when they scored the first goal, I think in Mbeumo, he done Ben White, and they actually probably should have made it 2-0 earlier in that game. I was really, really impressed, and I caught a bit of the Wolves game. Now, correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, did Brentford go down to 10 men at the weekend, or am I getting confused? I might be getting mixed up with that. But they won 2-0.
Baptiste got the red card, I think.
He did. So because of, if you actually look at Ivan Toney's pressing and work rate for that team, it's like he's at left back at one point. Come at left back. It's unbelievable.
Him and Mbeumo do like to drop in that 10 as well. When they played against Arsenal, they did that quite well.
The goal comes, so sorry to interrupt, Avi, but so basically Toney's out wide left, comes in. So that's a stupendous pass, and people might watch that and think it's easy, but it's all about the timing to make sure he's onside. Right foot, sweeps it inside of the foot, back post, and Mbeumo's there, just like you said, mate. It's a kind of bit like, remember the split strikers? It was like that. It was like when they went to 10 men, they played that way. And yeah, Toney. Yeah, I think a few people said this summer, would it be worth a shout of a Premier League team's looking at him? I think it was 30 million they were saying. It probably wouldn't have been a bad decision, because I feel like he's still early, but he's proven it.
Again, someone could come in the comments just to confirm. I think he came from Newcastle originally, Ivan Toney, and he's been scoring goals at the lower level as well.
Yeah, he was at Peterborough for a bit as well. I don't know if he was on loan at Peterborough, but he definitely played for Peterborough for a bit, because someone was telling me about that. So yeah, what a rise in his career.
And Thomas Frank, there was an interview that they did, I think, earlier on this season, or just before, during their pre-season Brentford, and he says, my philosophy is simple, but it's effective. We can talk about the pressing, and like Kevin said, there's a method to their pressing. Yeah. And that's it's an easy word to say, oh, they press well, but there has to be homework done for that. You need everyone on the tune. You can't just work, you can't press individually. You got to press as a team. You know, and there's certain variations and variables in for teams to enable that. And he does it really well with his team. And they're very structured as well in defensive. He keeps a nice midfield shape when they're in a defensive transition. And just with Thomas Frank, he said, I want my players to be comfortable all over the pitch. you know, he said, if I have an injury crisis, I want, you know, Ivan Toney to drop in midfield, you know, and become that midfielder. I want every player to be interchangeable in their movements. And it's kept them in good stead. You know, defensively, they've done well. I think they've only conceded two. You know, they've got two wins on their belt. You know, they've got points on the board. But is it refreshing to see teams like this in the Premiership, Conroy? Instead of, you know, I don't want to keep harping on about Burnley and Sean Dyche, or, you know, Leeds to a certain extent, even though Leeds do play great football, but of late you've seen this sort of dirty side to them. Is it good to see Brentford, who just are coming out to play, just like with Arsenal? They didn't fear Arsenal. And I know Arsenal are not a great team to put a pedestal to, but they're coming and they're saying, look, we're going to have a go here. A bit like Norwich, but Norwich are very naive, but Brentford, there's methods to every set of their plays, you know, defensively.
I absolutely agree, mate. Like, to be honest, it's probably going to be a bit unpopular, maybe not with Liverpool fans, but I get really, really pissed off with the kind of divined right football fans you get. So I've heard a few people say, oh, I want Notts Forest, I want Leeds back in the lead. And I, like, in my opinion, football is a competition. So the reason the English football is the way it is, and it's the pyramid scheme, is anybody, if obviously it comes down to money as well, but now and again you get someone who can manage a team, get them to play better and overperform, and then follow a system that works. I prefer that 9 times out of 10 to, like, don't get me wrong, like, the atmosphere is great, Leeds, and going, but people like hating on Bournemouth when they're up and stuff. I couldn't fathom it. I was like, a team's coming here to play great football and smashing some big teams while they're at it, by the way. I mean, I say this all the time, but four times they beat Chelsea. Four times they beat Chelsea in 5 Premier League seasons.
I still remember that nightmare game that Bournemouth had against us.
They beat us 4-3, yeah, Karius. Yeah, mistake.
Anyway, so, the less said about that, the better. No, anyway.
But what my point is, it's like Bournemouth probably were the first, because Blackpool tried to play that expansive way and it didn't last. They ended up going down that season, losing to United in the last game. Bournemouth, 5 seasons in the Premier League doing that. I think Brentford, it's a bit different, but there's still, as you say, there's no naivety. They're just trying to play their football, but they've got a bit of adaptation to it. Probably could look at, even though it's not the same route, kind of what Brighton are doing, changing up a bit, but I know how they kind of maintained their position first. I actually like the fact when it's just teams maybe I've not seen before, or teams who just, Brighton's and Brentford, I love that. Kind of from the Eddie Howe Bournemouth, just like teams who go out, and it's not like I would be criticising Leeds because they've just been so naive recently. I'm not saying you have to be open like the Red Sea, mate, but just like there's ways of beating teams where you don't have to sit in and just play a low block for the full game. People might disagree with that. People might say, well, if you, like Liverpool, for example, you play a low block, that's your best chance, and that's fair enough. But I'm enthralled by teams like Brentford and that. I find it fascinating to learn about how they're going to play, how they're going to approach the different games. And yeah, I don't know if you agree, mate. I prefer it like that. It's a competition at the end of the day, so the teams who get there deserve to be there.
See, with Leeds, they chuck bodies forward, but they're very slow in getting back into shape.
I don't know what they're doing on the defensive side.
But with Brentford, they're very quick in getting back into their shape. If they commit bodies forward, they get back into the shape. And that's one thing that Thomas Frank said. He said, it's all fine playing good football, high-octane pressing football. But when we commit forward, you're damn right, you know, you're damn well sure that we'll get all our shape back as well when we're, you know, defending against teams as well. And I think Arsenal had a massive problem, and Arsenal couldn't create that first game of the season. They couldn't create anything in edgeways. They were literally stuck on what to do. And they had players on the pitch who could have caused issues, but they just couldn't. Thomas Frank had his system set up, and, you know, against Wolves as well, very well organised. And Wolves have played good football. I know they've lost a few games and, you know, they're still finding their way under the new manager, but they actually played well, but they just couldn't carved them open. They couldn't literally find any space or any chances against Brentford. Yeah. I thought Brentford did really well. I want to come to our lineup and we'll come on to a prediction.
Can I just
say
one more thing? Of course. Just see, it's like the thing is that works. I think someone said about Leeds last year, and maybe say the same about Brentford. It's still really early, but the one thing is, it can work in the first season as well, but you need to be able to adapt as well, because you've got literally millions of pounds spent on staff to analyse your game to find weaknesses. So it'll be like that as well, mate. I feel like even Potter's had to adapt a bit at times. So it was just to add that that's the fascinating thing as well. It's like, just to say Leeds finished the season really well, And it's like, I don't know if Bielsa's kind of got stuck a bit now because he seems to do what he was doing at the start of last year and being more open. They have got a lot of injuries, to be fair. That's what Joe was saying last night. But it's a strange one, mate. I guess sometimes a lot of people are saying that now teams are against Leeds are playing their fittest or their best anti-presser players, press-resistant against them and matching them, and it seems to be working. I think we'll find out.
I think, Conroy, what it is, or teams can get found out. You know, teams can get found out. And I'm going to go back to, like, when Klopp came in and we were high on this gegenpressing and, you know, pressing galore and, you know, in intensity levels. And there's a question there as well. Can Brentford last the intensity? We changed a little bit intact when we brought in Fabinho and onto that 18-19 season, then, you know, 19-20 and so forth. Do you think that teams like Leeds, Brentford, say they have a great season. We saw it with Chris Wilder at Sheffield United, didn't we? That first season, they were brilliant. They could have got top four. They literally could have.
Oh, no, the overlapping centre-backs. Mate, honestly, Scotland have used that way. They've used that with Tierney and Robertson. That's what Tierney does when Robertson comes in. They actually use that now.
And second season, they just couldn't get a win, could they? They had to get rid of Chris Wilder.
I think COVID hit them hard in the sense of no fans really hit. I know people say, listen, it's I get that, but Sheffield United, Bramall Lane, it was like the fans were very, very important. Yeah. It's for everybody, but I think specifically for them.
And when they talk about like Leeds, and look, I'm a big fan of Marcelo Bielsa. I was a big fan of him.
Same here,
Atletico Bilbao. You've done some wonderful things there. Obviously with the Chilean national team as well, Argentina and so forth. But are they naive? I've spoken to Kevin about this, Kev O'Sullivan, who's in the comments last Friday. That's stubbornness, isn't it? Not wanting to change. Believing in your philosophy is one thing, and believing in, you know, plan A. And look, Klopp does it, Pep do it, but they do tweak it. Pep sometimes overdoes it, as we've seen in the Champions League final last season. Yeah. Klopp sort of tweaks it a little bit, and we've seen the great changes that it has made, and it's brought success. But managers like Bielsa, do they have to sort of like dissuade a little bit and like say, look, I need a system change? Or his coaches, like we've got Pep, Linders, Kravitz, who probably say to Klopp, look, let's change this a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, just tweak the system. Is this then back to managers like who are too stubborn their ways that they don't want to change it?
I'm confused, Avi. This is what's confusing me with this topic, because Chris Bracken made a great point, and so did Laura Duffy. I think there's another comment as well. Sorry, I forgot the name. Leeds had one of the best records at home last season because they tweaked it a little bit. It's not, they want to play in five at the back, but basically they tweaked it slightly. So this is what I can't get my head around, why he's doing it right now. Maybe it is personnel, but I don't know. Like playing Rodrigo attacking mid is probably not going to help with that. But I that's what I'm confused by, because I thought Bielsa had kind of adapted it. So this is what, I don't know, mate. Like, for me, you need to be able to adapt, but I think the word adapt doesn't mean throw the baby out of the bathwater. It just means tweak it slightly. Like what Liverpool are kind of doing with when Harvey Elliott... Oh.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Conroy's Wi-Fi is playing. I think the cat's taking the cable out again. The Ethernet cable. Oh, Conroy, are you there? Hello? Testing.
You okay?
Yep, you're there.
It's the Ethernet. Maui's pulled the Ethernet cable out. But it was like what we do with Harvey Elliott, Trent and Salah, to allow Trent to come on in the centre for a bit to give us a different option. You need to be able to tweak it. So, I don't know. Some managers will live and die by the philosophy because it's got them where they are today. So, we'll see, mate. I probably could actually, it's funny you said that, I watched a documentary last night and it was about Tuchel. And I've never heard it before, but Tuchel's philosophy is basically to counteract what you're doing, especially in the bigger games. So like against Pep, he'll do something to kind of disrupt what they're doing. And it's quite a fascinating documentary. It's basically called How Did Tuchel Become the Best Coach in the World? I'm not saying he is, but it was a really interesting documentary. And it was like, it's really funny how we talk about all these philosophies, and he obviously has a philosophy how to play, you know, possession based and the free at the back he's using the now, but it's really interesting how he'll focus on, like, if it's a big game like Man City in the Champions League final, he'll focus on how to really it just put them off their game and found that really interesting. And it's quite funny.
He likes to disrupt, which makes his team sometimes ugly. I remember at Dortmund, when he came from Mainz, his first season, they were ridiculously good going forward, but really bad defensively. And they were kept throwing bodies forward. And Dortmund have never changed, actually, from that. If this season proves it under Marco Rose, they're still doing the same thing. But he's one manager that has adapted. That PSG season when they got to the Champions League final, if you look at all the games leading up to that final against Bayern, he was very negative in his tactics, but he was reading his opposition. That's when he took over Chelsea. I mean, they're not the prettiest team to watch. They can be pretty when they want to be. I thought the Arsenal game away this season, they looked really good. I thought against us, we saw a clinic put on by Tuchel in the second half. Yes, we should have won with 10 men, but let's make no mistake, the shape that he had, the shape that he set up for that second half with Thiago Silva as well as experience in that
centre-back. It's easy to do that with Chelsea, isn't it? And so when you've got Mbappe and Neymar, it's definitely more difficult when you've got a glamorous team like that. And I'm not saying they're obviously all great.
Well, Poch is finding that out, isn't he? Yeah.
But the Kev, I think it was Kieran B, it was just on... that was, I don't know if you're asking me, but it was on YouTube. It's just a 50-minute video. It's like, Tuchel's the best, why he's the best coach in the world. He's not, in my opinion, but it was fascinating because when he went to Mainz, what he'd done was he cut off the corners in the pitch, like he coned them off, so you weren't allowed to use the wide areas. So an 11-a-side pitch, you had to do more in a tight area. So when you went into a game, you had more space. Which is quite interesting, actually.
Yeah,
fascinating, coach.
There are some great managers who will put in some great ideas. I mean, Dortmund have got a great setup, even in their training. The little—I'm not sure if you've seen it—but these little sort of circular. It's like a circumference of a player who's got to hit these targets in squares. I mean, they did it with Kagawa, Marco Reus. They were using it back then, and they still have got it here. And I know at Kirby, they've tried to implement something similar. It's like a passing zone. You've got these squares that flash up and you've got to hit the ball in the specific targets. But no, it's innovation.
Hoffenheim done that as well, mate. I love Nagelsmann.
I think when Nagelsmann was there. Yeah. I think you're right when Nagelsmann was there.
Yeah. Nagelsmann, you see what he done at Hoffenheim? He basically got a pitch and he basically like squared off what your area would be. And he said, just focus on that area when they're playing a game. And I found it quite... Obviously, you're not going to be that regimented, but it was basically in certain key patterns of play, this is where you would go. And I find that really fascinating. So Nagelsmann's the one for me to watch for the future. It's probably really obvious, but I think that guy's very special.
Yeah, you're talking as if that's the next manager that you'd like at Liverpool.
I wouldn't shoot it off, but I'm not going to get it. I love Klopp. Klopp's the man.
No, let's not dissuade. But I want to come up to lineup. We can do this together, the lineup against Brentford. It picks itself at the back five, including Alisson, picks itself. Alisson, Trent, Matip comes back in after a week rest.
Unless he's got something's happened, I'd say he comes right back in, mate.
And then we've got Van Dijk, and then we go with Robertson, you presume,
But I'm obviously going to say Robertson, right? But I've got to be honest, it's a strange one. I feel like next week he's going to... Champions League is next week, am I wrong?
Yeah, Porto, I think... who's it? Porto away, is it?
Yeah. He's going to play Robertson in that game, 100%, no doubt. Like unless people disagree, I think he's definitely going to play Robertson in the Champions League. You saw him against Milan, quality, outstanding. For me, it'll be Robbo. Robbo's the best left-back. But I can't dispute the form of Tsimikas. I think I'd be stupid if I said that. And they've both played about roughly the same minutes because Robbo came on against Norwich, roughly about the same.
Is there a case that, and I know you've got your allegiance towards Robertson, but...
Well, I just think in general he's a much better left-back, but you can't discount the form of Tsimikas. That would be unfair.
But is there a case where maybe, later on the season, maybe towards Christmas time, that Tsimikas could be first choice or Robbo's still first choice for you?
Well, what I would say, mate, is how good was Robertson against Milan? Like, ridiculous, right? Yeah. And I feel like I just think sometimes it's really easy because it's... I'm surprised sometimes the fan base, it's really easy to forget that Andy Robertson is, like, being outstanding and his numbers are better than any... I'd argue he's up there, probably one of the best full left-backs ever in the Premier League. People might think I'm being a bit reactionary, but the guy's got 39 assists. That's ridiculous.
A key moment for me against Milan was we were tiring towards our second half, but Robbo literally got the ball and he just 2-3 times he did, just to get us out of, like, you know, just a bit of respite, a little bit of rest, and he just bombed forward that left-hand side. Just ran the channel and just ran and ran and ran. And that, for me, was like, that's what we need. That's that little bit of energy just to bomb forward. But now I've just got to take this comment from Sam Thandy. He believes it will be Alisson, Robbo, Matip, Van Dijk, Trent, Fab, Hendo, Jones. That's the midfield that I would go with as well, Conroy. And then Mane, Jota, Salah. I've gone with Mane, Minamino, and Salah. And that's not a hot take. I think Klopp might change it a little bit. So I'm going to go with Mane, Jota, Salah. Then I hope Keita and Firmino are back for the Porto game. Conroy, is that your midfield and forward line as well? Are you going to change it up?
Yeah. I feel like on it, folks, I'm going to say, see if it was Liverpool home again. Against say like a Palace, something like that, or it was against Brentford at home, I think he'd probably play Tsimikas in this game just because of the form. But because it is Brentford away, and again, I think Robbo's defensive ability is severely underrated because no one talks about it because just no one really gets by him. I think it'll probably be Robbo, and I think for me the midfield would be the same as that comment there, and I'll go and agree with that. I think it'll be Mane, Jota and Salah instead of Minamino, but fair enough, mate.
Slander on Taki's name. But I just want to come
up to... I wouldn't mind if you got a start. I just think Brentford, I think it's going to be a tricky game, mate, and I feel like we're going to need those front three.
Kev O'Sullivan's going with Fabinho, Hendo and James Milner. And we'll touch upon James Milner. I know you lot have touched upon him yesterday as well. There was something additional I wanted to add. But that midfield three for you, is that a little bit conservative? It's no shots at you, Kevin, but is that a little bit conservative for a Brentford away? Or do you think, no, I wouldn't mind that at all?
Do you know what, mate? I'd be okay with that, to be honest. I remember we used to say, you know, it's the Brexit midfield sometimes in the Champions League games, but when Milner and Henderson play, I'm pretty happy with that because the proof's in the pudding. I think they've always consistently pretty good and it allows the front three. Your comment about Jones kind of pushing on a bit. We've kind of done that with Elliot this season. Not saying they're the same player. That's why I think it might push more to Jones in this game. However, we'll see. I know everyone's saying like win 5-6. No, I think this will be a tough game, mate. I do. Because I think sometimes when it's someone you've not played before or played in the league before, you're not sussing each other out, but you're maybe going to try and see how the game goes in the first 10 minutes.
Conroy, it's Liverpool Football Club as well. Going to Griffin Park. I mean, this is Brentford fans' biggest game of the season so far. It will be the biggest game of the season, period. You know, we're Liverpool Football Club. Let's not forget that. It will be, you know, their fans will be up for this. You know, and Thomas Frank will be drumming this into the spares. That, look, you lot wanted Premiership football. This is what it's about. I mean, I know they played Arsenal, but Liverpool Football Club is still...
Yeah, you want to calm that ground down. I know, like, we're not the biggest fans of Gary Neville here, but he always says that momentum is so much in football. And when you go to these places like that, you don't want to give them that momentum. And that's why I think it's maybe the Milner shouts, maybe a pretty good shout, Kev, because of that. But we'll see. We'll see. I think this season, we definitely feel like we've got that aura, you know, to just say, we'll deal with them. But there's confidence and then there's arrogance. I don't think we can be arrogant in this game. However, I do think we've got enough to clinically win it.
Just want to come to a super chat. Thank you, LFC Aaron. Appreciate it. Does Origi start? Does Origi deserve to start against Brentford? For me, even though he's got the momentum at the moment, I wouldn't. But if it's 0-0 coming up to the 65th, 70th minute, you know, I would maybe chuck on either Minamino if he doesn't start. Minamino, Origi. Conroy, are you thinking the same or do you think he deserves to start?
Cheers for this super chat, LFC Aaron. Cheers, mate. You're always getting some great comments in there. I would say, you know what, he's doing really well. And it was just one game, but you know, he had Milan, Norwich. I think it's going to be the front three. However, I think what Avi says is he's probably put himself back in Klopp's mind that if they're chasing a goal and they need a change, that you can trust them to come on and make an impact. And see, to be honest, for what that was a month ago, that's pretty surprising. So fair play to Origi. But you know, you never know with Klopp. That Milan team last week surprised the hell out of me. So who knows, Avi? Who knows, mate?
And this season, he's getting the substitutions and the changes right again, isn't he, Klopp? I mean, there was a period last season where I look at Fulham at home when they won 1-0 and I was thinking, what's he done with that lineup? Like, are we actually chucking away top four now? And some of the substitutions were baffling as well.
We couldn't hit a barn door then though, could we? He just felt like we could not create anything.
But the changes bar the Chelsea game. I thought the Chelsea game, he could have switched it around quicker, sooner. I think he's been okay with the changes. I think he's been really good. I think the Milan game threw us all off, didn't it? The Milan change with Origi starting on was like, you know, where's he come from the blue wilderness?
It's like we won that game twice, mate. 1-0 up, get a penalty, miss that. 2-1 at half time. What's going on? And we come back and win 3-2. It was a strange game.
But the substitutions, the changes that Klopp's made, and you know, the backroom staff as well, are probably in his ear as well. You know, because he does listen to them. He does listen to the doctors and the physios and stuff, and saying, look, he might not be available to start, but you know, bring him on the bench, or he's ready, he's fresh, so he will listen to the team. But we could see one or two changes against Brentford. I want to quickly come on to James Milner, Conroy, because we talk about pivotal signings. Off the pitch, on the pitch, Michael Edwards is obviously leaving the club next season, you know, at the end of the season. Julian Ward coming in. You know, we've made a few changes in the academies and whatnot. But James Milner, he's one that I think could be the most pivotal sign, one of the most pivotal signings over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, and such that I believe he should be included in some high regard position in the academy setup. Every young player right there on Tuesday who played for Liverpool and who came on, Tyler Mortons, your Cade Gordons, your Musialowskis, your Balaghizis, your Leighton Stewarts, you know, your Connor Bradleys, they should use him as an example. You know, a teetotal footballer who's prolonged his career. He's, what, 36 now. He could probably play another 2 years. Another 2 years, and I'm not even joking. He can probably do another 2 years in the Premiership. You saw his performance against Palace. I thought he was brilliant, Conroy. And here's a player who was predominantly a winger, you know, during his time at Aston Villa, Newcastle. Then wanted to be a midfielder. That's the reason that he came when Brendan signed him up. He wanted to become a more central midfielder. Yeah. Played a season at left back. Under Klopp, you know, so he's played at right back. He can do a job. And he reminds me of a certain Luis Enrique, who covered a whole host of positions in the 90s for Barcelona. But James Milner, is he one that we've just got to keep hold of? It's similar to Klopp, keep hold of him, because he is the example that every youngster should look upon and say, you know what, that's the modern profession there. Wayne Rooney had a great career, but he could have prolonged it as well. He let himself down, he let his body down, and there's other footballers as well. And I don't want to single out Wayne Rooney, because he did have a fantastic career, but he could have been in that sort of ilk of a Ronaldo if he looked after his body, you know, properly and went on a, you know, proper on a strict diet and whatnot, gave himself a day off here.
Also,
and there.
He did get played over. You probably argue overplayed a lot as well. Like, I don't know if that's the right term, but from a young age, I don't know if many footballers play that from that young that often. So I get what you're saying. I think it's a hard one with Rooney, though, because it's like it's 16-year-old. Like, even we talk about 16-year-old Bellingham, 17, and he's an enigma. Nowadays, most players will not get that consistent football unless you're a one-off. But fair point, mate. For me, Milner, right, it's not even like the example. I agree, the good comment there said by Cade, that it's a great, especially for his leadership qualities. But I think he talks to players as well. And I feel like, I think someone said last night, see, the Shrewsbury game a couple of years ago, he came to the game, sat on the bench, and helped coach give a bit of a team talk to the players. I think that's just in him. I don't think it's a case of, you know, silence. I feel like he'll inform them, build them knowledge, show them what to do, but also inform them for that. I mean, look at his fitness qualities. And people can say what they want, but if you're still winning that test at that age, that's obviously going to help. Like, to have that standard every day. Absolutely. I feel like you're absolutely bang on, mate. I feel Leeds are maybe looking at him. But for what you're saying, I think Liverpool need to really be smart. We weren't smart in the past, you know, with Gerrard and stuff. I'm not saying that there's obviously underlying circumstances for that. But for me, need to keep Milner in some sort of regard. If he wants to be a coach, he might want a break for a bit. But I just can't see it to me, because I think he's a fanatic about football, I think, anyway. And I feel like he would just want to get right into coaching.
I think he's still Leeds' youngest player to score in a Premiership game. I think he was 15.
Ironically, I'm saying it about Rooney, but yeah, he was 15 as well. Probably James Milner's actually, you could probably say.
Youngest player, I think for that. Maybe that was beaten by James Vaughan of Everton, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But I think Milner still has that record. Prediction time, Conroy, before I plug the CBD stuff of Grizz's sponsor. Prediction for Saturday.
Got to be honest, mate. I'm going to say... I could easily be. I'm going to say, I was thinking, I'm going to go for 2-0. I don't like to ever say we're going to concede. I very rarely do that. I think 2-0, not like a walk in the park. I think maybe get the first goal in the first half and then it's towards the end of the game get the second goal. So I'd go for 2-0, mate. I'll say Salah with a double.
See, because you've said 2-0 is boring. My prediction, I've got it on my phone as well, it was 2-0 tonight, but yeah, you've nicked that. And I've told you that beforehand when I sent you the agenda.
I was going to say 1-0, mate. The only reason I think it'll be 2 is I've just noticed that recently we've been quite good at scoring later in the games to get, you know, to get that, like Leeds and what was the game? Palace obviously got a late goal in that as well. So I'm just going with that regard. I think we'll nick a second. So apologies.
You've said Salah brace, which would take him to 101 goals for Liverpool then. So he's betting on his century for Liverpool this
weekend. Well, if Mane gets two, that'll be 100 goals in the Premier League.
But Premier League, is it? But he's got 100 altogether, hasn't he?
He's got 100 for Liverpool, but he's got 98 Premier League goals. And, like, listen, if Mane scores two, because he scored obviously more than Salah scored for Chelsea. He scored quite a few for Southampton. So if Mane can get to 100 Premier League goals, that would be quietly quite amazing in the space of a couple of weeks for two of our wingers to get in the 100 club. That would be amazing.
I'm going to go with my tried and tested for last season. So the joke is, Conroy, every 4-0. Week, every week it was either 4-0 or 3-0, just the positivity in me. But I'm going to go with 3-0. I think we'll get a goal around the 30th minute. I think the first 30 will be a little bit cagey, just to suss each other out. I think we'll get a goal between the 30th to halftime, and then we'll close the game off second half. We'll get two towards the latter stages. So I'm going to go with 3-0, and I'll go with Curtis Jones, and I'll go with Salah, and I think Jota will score as well. So those are my three scorers for the weekend, and hopefully, we'll still be top of the league if City do us a favour. I want to get on to the last bit, which is, guys, please go and visit www.elitemi.com for all your CBD needs. I'm holding my balm here, which I use on my lips. I use on my knees as well. I suffer from patellar tendons because back home I used to play football on AstroTurfs. So my knees are still sort of like jarred and stuff, but this thing has been a godsend. The oil is great as well. The oil that Grizz famously tried to show us how he takes the drops in, but it's great stuff. Please go and visit elitemead.com for all your CBD needs. And there is I believe, a discount of 10% if you go on the checkout. And the discount code is LFC10 for 10% off on all CBD products. I can't highly regard this is a godsend. The balm is a godsend. And I think they're doing CBD bath bombs as well for relaxation, for muscle relief as well. So, Conroy, CBD stuff, have you tried any of this stuff out yet? Or... Is your body fine at the moment? It helps with sleep as well. Sleep is amazing.
Yeah, no. I've heard about it. Definitely something I considered. Absolutely, mate, because I play drums and stuff occasionally for a band. So it's like sometimes your back is with drums. It's an occupational hazard. It's very difficult not to have it at times, especially just it's not the most natural thing to do. But yeah, no, I'll definitely look into that. I mean, that would probably relax my back. Have a nice bath. That sounds good.
Brilliant. And Grizz, hopefully we'll be back next Thursday, and I know he's out in Turkey saying, Avi, every day, you know, we've been walking and enjoying my holidays and, you know, my kebabs and stuff, and he comes back and he says, I have the drops, you know, after I've done my, you know, after I brush my teeth, I take the drops, and he's fully knocked out. And his wife's been saying, Avi, he's still like comatose, literally just snores all night, and she goes, I can't even go to sleep. But that's that done. Conroy, what are we coming? Are you got a show on your channel as well, if you just want to plug that?
Sure. If you want to come over, just Conroy Talks on YouTube, the channel. I think you'll see Gav, and I've not even announced it yet, but I think next week, next Monday, Gav, Keith and Finners will be on next Monday. I've not even picked the agenda yet, but it'll be about Premier League. I'll probably focus on what happens at the weekend. So next Monday at 9 p.m, I'll get that on Twitter. You can also catch me on Twitter @_ConroyH. So yeah, just come on over and it'll be a good chat. I'll get Avi on as well if he's ever got the time to come on. We'll get a chat and just anything. So that'll be more general football stuff. I'll come up with an agenda on Monday. I'm sure the Premier League I'll give us some stuff this weekend to talk about anyway. So yeah. I know they're asking for the cat. I'm sorry, Cade. She's not in the room at the moment, mate. I can't show you the cat. She's away. She's left. She's pulled the Ethernet cable out and she's left.
Brilliant, brilliant. That's the best way, isn't it? Do your destruction, just walk out of the door. Absolutely. And nothing happened. But I just want to, we've got Sports Unplugged tomorrow. Conroy, you'll be back with me. We've got Jay Riley. We've got Kev O'Sullivan, who is obviously on the in the comments all the time. He's going to be with, he's going to be tomorrow. We will be previewing a little bit on Liverpool-Brentford. And then the big one, which is Joshua versus Usyk, which will be good.
Oh, we won't, mate, I'm looking forward to that.
We
now.
Won't give.
I'm
we won't give.
Forward to that
we could have, actually rolled on and done an extra hour and just done that tonight as well. But we will save it for tomorrow. Yeah. It should be a good show. And we'll talk amongst talk a little bit of NFL, a bit of UFC tomorrow. There's the return of Nick Diaz against Robbie Lawler. A pretty good fight. Maybe 10 years too late. But yeah, that's all from me. Fatback 4 will be back on Sunday. There's a pre-match show that Chris and Darren, I believe, will be hosting. Then you got the post-match reaction show.
It's actually me this. I'm pre-match. Oh, I just realised. God, I'm doing Friday. What a shift I'm doing. I just realised it's me and Chris, I think. It's one of us. It's Daz or Chris with me on Saturday because it was Daz and Chris for the Norwich. So it'll be me and whoever the other one is. I can't remember. But we'll be doing the pre-match show. So if you can see, if you want to see my face for 3 days in a row, feel free to join.
You're doing four. You've got the quadruple now. If you're doing Saturdays, you're picking up awards there.
Listen, mate. You need just listen. It's all good, mate. It's a pleasure to be on these shows, and the community is great. So happy to be here and looking forward to it.
Brilliant. Thanks again, once again, guys, for tuning in. Grizz will be back next week as your host, and that's when he loves doing that Zoom and stuff. But for now, thank you. Good night. Stay safe. Stay blessed. And we will be seeing you tomorrow. Sports Social Podcast Network.